this Lord's Day. It's always a treat when we are able to come back here at the end of the year and to be with all of you on the Lord's Day, to be able to assemble with you. And as you know, just about every year, I'm excited about being able to be here and hear someone else preach. And I think my family is too, to be honest with you. But Harry is always twisting my arm, and he's wanting to, have one of the sermons off and be able to hear someone else preach too. And it goes back and forth. But I have to say, I've never seen anyone go to the extreme of having a kidney removed to get someone to feel sorry enough for him that they would fill in for him. But he had my sympathy. I was glad that I was able to hear Harry preach this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, so I guess we both got a little bit of what we wanted. I have to say, though, as I was listening to Harry preach this morning, I just kept looking up here thinking, Harry, you're not even half the preacher you used to be. And I'm sure that joke's been made a lot. I speak regarding the tremendous amount of weight that he's lost, and I have to keep looking at him thinking, is that Harry? But it's classic Harry when I hear him speak and when he's preaching. Just a wonderful lesson this morning, and did, I think, all of us a lot of good. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Lamentations this morning. The book of Lamentations, we'll find our text. The book of Lamentations is not a very long book, and it's not one that we probably often turn to for a text for one of our sermons. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet because he not only wrote the book of prophecy that bears his name, but he also wrote this book of Lamentations. We may only be familiar with the word Lamentations if we've learned the books of the Bible, but it comes from, at least in part, from the word lament, which means to weep. And this is a record of inspired revelation that God gave to Jeremiah that has to do with the horrible devastation and destruction of Jerusalem at the hand of the Babylonian kingdom. And I'd like for you to look with me in chapter 5. And I want you to notice that as we read through this, that in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah not only weeps, but he also prays. In chapter 5, in verse 1, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We've given our hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands. And elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones. Boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dancing has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. I want you to notice, beginning in verse 19 especially, his appeal as he closes. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. He's emphasizing the fact that the Jews, many of them, thought that Jerusalem and that kingdom would never be destroyed. They were God's people, but they were looking at the external part of the kingdom rather than the internal. They did not realize that God looked upon the heart and that what God valued was their faith and their devotion to Him, and that He would quickly take away all of the externals, even the temple, everything about their worship, that fast. And so now, as they stand stunned, Jeremiah admits, but God's throne has not been destroyed. Jerusalem has been destroyed, but God's throne is forevermore. Now in verse 21, he says, turn us back to you, O Lord. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Now I want you to notice that text there where he says, O Lord, we will be restored, renew our days as of old. What Jeremiah is praying for here is not just the externals back. He is not just praying for things to be the way that they were, but he is praying that their relationship with God and that their blessings as a result of that would be restored. You know, when we notice this petition and this word renew, this word means to make new, as if new again, to restore to a former or a sound condition. Some synonyms of that word would be to regain or to restore, to reestablish, to replenish. We have the word reconciliation. It is to make a relationship new again. We've got to realize and to remember that Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 4 that the things that were written before were written for our learning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and also in verse 11, the things that happened to them were as examples to us. They were written for our admonition. So as we look back at the destruction of Jerusalem, it is not that we're expecting a destruction and an overthrow of Oklahoma City or Blue Springs, Missouri, per se. But what we understand is that there are lessons that are to be gained from what happened here that the prophet wrote about, what he prayed about, what he wept about. And it is in our best interest to learn these lessons. There is a need from time to time for each one of us individually for renewal. To be restored again to a prior relationship, to a state that we were once in. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, when John is addressing the seven churches of Asia, the very first church that he addresses is the church at Ephesus. And what the Lord tells the church at Ephesus is that they have forgotten their first love. And he tells them that they need to remember from whence they have fallen and to return. That restoration. They needed a renewal. It wasn't that everything about them was wrong, but it was about to be. Things were changing. It was not the way it should be. And the Lord said that it would lead to an utter demise to where their lampstand would be removed. What's the solution? That restoration. They needed a renewal of their first love. And I think that there's times that all of us can relate to that. And not only individually. There are churches that we see that have subtly and slowly gone away from the old paths, from what we have known those churches to be for so many years. And it usually doesn't happen in a day, but simply through oversight, or a lack of oversight, we might say. Maybe it's through a diminished substance in the preaching. Maybe just a failure on the part of the elders to fully follow God's pattern and His plan. But nonetheless, we see these churches that they change. And over time, we think, what happened there? And their only hope is like the church at Ephesus, that there be a renewal. And there's some things that have to be renewed. For each one of us, there have probably been times where we are going through something very difficult in our life. And we look back and we realize, I know where it started going wrong. My prayer life began to be diminished. My Bible study, my Bible reading is not what it once was. My attendance, I have to admit, is not where it was at one time. And we realize that these types of things lead to the demise that we often see in our life personally. In our marriages, in the raising of our children. And there are many times that we think to ourselves, I think it is as bad as it can possibly be. Can it ever be restored? Can it ever be renewed? I think about what it must have looked like to Jeremiah and to the Jews to see Jerusalem as it was and to imagine it can never be the way that it was. You know, sometimes it can't. Sometimes there are consequences in this life that a relationship between people can never be the same as it once was. innocence can sometimes never be completely regained, at least in the sense of not being aware of things that we were once not aware of. But what can be renewed is our relationship with God, which is going to make all things right and good again. No, that temporal thing may be forever lost. Sometimes a marriage has gotten to a point and enough sin has been committed that it may not be put back together again. But our relationship with God and our blessings through Him can be. How many times have you wished that you could hit that refresh button like we have on the internet when a page isn't loading right? Or just to be able to do a hard reset on as you do on your phone and to make things start working right again? This is what we've got to reach, is a point to where we understand what we've got to go back to and what we've got to do in order to attain this. It's easy sometimes to think that our lives have gotten so bad, or maybe our marriage or our situation is so bad, and I've created this, maybe I'm recognizing that, but then to think God must be done with me. As you read through Lamentations, and specifically in chapter 2, where Jeremiah speaks about God's anger and the fact that He has come after them with a blaze, and that He has shown no pity. And to think about the suffering of the people at that time, it would have been easy to think God is done with us. And then our prayer life begins to suffer. And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen. He wants us to think that we can't hit refresh, that we can't do that reset, that we cannot have that renewal of our days as of old. But Jeremiah knew better. As horrible as the situation was, Jeremiah knew that what he needed to do was to pray, and that the Jews needed to make some changes. I want you to look back at chapter 3 and to notice, beginning in verse 20. In chapter 3 and in verse 20, he says, "My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." You know, in Revelation chapter 3, as I was mentioning earlier, Jesus tells them to remember from where or from whence they have fallen. One commentary says that remember is the lever of repentance. We need to remember things. We need to call to mind what we were like in a relationship. If it's in a problem in our marriage, if it's in our relationship toward the Lord, we need to remember what that was like when it was what it should have been, and to return. And he says, "I remember, therefore I have hope." Verse 22, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Isn't it interesting that in the middle of this book of doom and gloom and weeping and sorrow, that Jeremiah could say to God, "Great is your faithfulness"? Brethren, we need to remember that. In the deepest and the darkest pit, in the worst time of our life, when we feel like it'll never be the same, I will never be able to feel happy again because of, and fill in the blank, it may be a health problem, a loss of life, a loss of a loved one. But he says, "I have hope." Why? "Because great is your faithfulness." Verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord." Now I want you to listen, beginning in verse 27. He's going to speak about why sometimes it's good for us to suffer. He says in verse 27, "It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." There's hope. Even in the book of Lamentations, there is hope. And that's the message for us. We need to be praying at these times, "O Lord, renew our days." How can that be attained? Is it even possible? I'll tell you, Jeremiah understood that the only way that renewal was possible was if God would bring it about. Now that doesn't mean that it is all of God and none of me. That doesn't mean that it's some better felt than told experience. What it means is that our renewal requires some renewing of ours, but it must be according to God's plan. God has a plan of renewal. He has a reset, but we've got to follow His plan. And therefore, Jeremiah was praying for God's grace, for time, for opportunity, for mercy. We need to pray for the same. So what does it mean when we ask God to renew our days? I want you to notice, well, you got to be careful with pushing that button, it goes fast. I want you to notice, first of all, that when we're praying to God to renew our days, that what we're looking at is really a desire for the right spirit. It's not just a change of circumstances. Now, this is where too many Christians fail, because they have built their house on the ever-drifting sand. And after the storm, when it is all washed away, when everything's crumbling around them, when there's a problem in their family and their job and in whatever it is, and they begin to pray to God, too many times all they're asking for is a change of circumstances. They want things to be fixed again, but they don't necessarily want the change that's necessary for that renewal to take place. We had a gospel meeting this past year, and the lesson was, one of the lessons was taken from the book of John, where Jesus said in John chapter 5 and in verse 6, "Do you want to be made well?" And the preacher made a very good point about the fact that, you know, there are a lot of people that get their lives in such a mess, maybe their marriage or maybe their maybe it's an addiction or maybe it's some type of circumstance, and their life is in such a mess. And when we go to them and we want to show them how to be made well, we begin to study with them. How many times have you found that that person, they want relief, but they don't want the cure? That was the point that was made in the sermon that I thought was profound. Too many people want relief, but they don't want the cure. When we're asking God to renew our days, we are not appealing for just a change of circumstances. What we're looking for is to be able to have our spirit right with God again. In the Psalms, in the 51st Psalm, beginning in verse 7, we see David. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's what we're pleading for. It is that relationship with God. It is that our inner man, our spirit, that our soul be changed in a way. That spirit that is created in the image of God. And it's been separated from God because of sin. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. What we've got to do is we've got to find a way for our spirit to be reconciled to God again. That spirit is changed. In 2 Peter, in chapter 2, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, Peter says that there are some who have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Notice that. Their heart is trained in this covetousness, in this adultery. He's speaking about people that cannot look at someone of the opposite sex without having lustful thoughts in their mind. When people reach a point to where they have been overcome by addiction, maybe it is substance abuse, maybe it's a husband who's been caught up in pornography, or a young man who's been caught up in the same, and it feels like there's just no way to be able to overcome this. The fact is, there's always a way. By the power of God, there is renewal. We can renew ourselves as the days of old, as far as our relationship with God, to be pure again. But I'll tell you, there's some things that are going to have to change. We're going to have to renew this spirit. We're going to have to renew this inner man in order for that to take place. And the first step to being renewed is, like David, to seek that forgiveness. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, when he's speaking about baptism, he says in verse 21, there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. And then he says in parenthesis, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what we're looking for. To know that our heart is right again. To restore that. To plead with God to forgive us. And obviously, that comes through a desire to have our conscience cleansed and the obedience through baptism that will bring that to pass. Colossians chapter 2 speaks about much the same thing when he says in verse 12 that we're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Notice, it's not just the immersion in water. It's not the water itself. It is the faith in God who raised him from the dead. Faith that God can make us new again. We've got to start with that desire for renewal. The book of Revelation records those who are suffering grievous things, but they're still cursing God in their pain. Some people like that. They're unwilling to make the changes that are necessary because they do not want to change their course. But when we reach that point, we realize we're in need of this renewal, this spiritual renewal. We've got to express that desire for our spirit to be, our spirit made in the image of God to be brought back, reconciled to fellowship with Him. Obviously, this is something that takes part then in the inner man, the spirit of man. The inward man, the mind, the spirit of man. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of our minds. Our thinking's got to change. We've got to think differently. We've got to get our spirit, our inner man, made back into the image of God. And it starts there. It starts with our heart. We sing the song, I think it's number 270, Give me thy heart, says the Father above. It's when that heart is devoted to God and our thinking changes that we're going to see a complete renewal. And the fact is that what we've got to do is we've got to learn to filter and to refresh our minds. When we're out here working in the world, or you're going to school and you're around all of your friends and or the people that you work with, some things are inescapable. We're going to hear things, the jokes and the language, the people telling things that we don't want to hear, we don't want to know. Some of them we can walk away from. Some we can flee from. Maybe we can find a different job where we're not exposed to as much of it. Some of it's inescapable as we live in this world. What is our hope? When our mind is being inundated by all of the filth and the worldly things, well, God gives us this filter. You know, it's like water being ran through a charcoal filter to get the impurities out. When we run our mind through the Word of God, when we immerse it, when we bathe it in inspired Scripture, as Harry was talking about this morning, and being a commendable hearer, it's not a matter of just a sound, an audible noise being within earshot, but that we're taking it in so that our heart, the inward man, is bathed in the Word of God. And in doing so, that's how we filter. That's how we refresh. That's how we renew. That's how we get rid of, metaphorically, all of the cookies that are left in our mind by the world. cleansed of those things so that they aren't constantly coming back over and over again. But I want to tell you, it takes a tremendous amount of diligence on our part to give ourselves to God's Word in order to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 3 through 4, he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Our minds can be terribly influenced by this world. And there's not enough of us that realize that danger, as the comment was made in our Bible class in the last hour, to understand the deception. The deception of sin and the deception of the worldly things that we're inundated with. We've got to realize the danger of how they influence our minds. In Ephesians 4, we were reading this morning in class in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of" what? "Of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Here's the result, verse 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Where did it all start? They were influenced in their minds. It led to ignorance of God's will and of His way, and it led to utter darkness in their minds. So what we've got to do, obviously, is devote our minds to God's Word, to His will, that it becomes the meditation of our heart. In Philippians 4 and in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Here's our praying. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Renew our days as of old. If we're going to return, if we're going to come back, this is where it's got to start. We've got to change what we think about. And the way that we're going to change what we think about is by bringing God's Word to bear upon our minds, upon our lives. Obviously, this is telling us that this is an internal, conscious decision that we make. Too many times we just want an external, something that would be easy to do. It would be easy if we could be simply given so many Hail Marys to say, or count a certain number of beads as we say some prayer by rote. I want to tell you that that's not anywhere in the Scripture. Those are the ideas and the thoughts of men, and they do not bring an ounce of renewal. Not in our heart. They don't bring an ounce of true peace. This peace only comes when the inner man is truly and genuinely changed. It has to be inwardly. You know, the outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Harry was talking in the first hour this morning about the fact that it's not any fun getting old. And I think that all of us, at least if at a certain age, wish that we could hit the reset button on that too. And have the energy we once had and had the spring in our step that we once had. We can't be 5 or 6 again. We can't have that level of innocence again. And I'm not saying that we can't be innocent. I'm saying that there's a level of innocence that we have all enjoyed as a little child. Maybe you think back about a time in your life. I remember a time in middle school when there were kids talking about things around me and I had no idea what they were talking about. It wasn't until later that I thought back on those things and I thought, that was some pretty bad stuff they were talking about. But I didn't even know. Wouldn't it be great to be that innocent again? To not even know or understand the evil that we are almost consumed with, it seems like, in society sometimes. Well, we can't always hit the restart on that. We can have a tender conscience again. But you know, the things that we know, we know. So there are some things that we cannot reset, but we can go back and we can make our spirit pure again. And with that diligence and that effort and with the Word of God, we can think on things that are pure. We can rejoice in things that are pure. And we don't have to be constantly attacked by the things that are evil. As I said, the physical body is perishing, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. You know, James writes in James chapter 4 and in verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." There's renewal. But cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Draw near to God. See what we need to do? Only God can enact that renewal in its entirety, but there's some things that we've got to do in order to bring it about, and it is all a part of that inward man. As we've been talking about, this is accomplished by means of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Look at Titus chapter 3. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration," there's baptism, "and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." What is that? What is that renewing of the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13, that when the Spirit of truth had come, after Jesus departed from His apostles, He would send them an advocate, the Spirit of truth. And He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's how He was going to be their advocate. The King James Version says comforter. It was going to be by means of guiding them into all truth. And then He told them to go out and to preach these things, for these inspired men to write these things down. And Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 3, that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. Paul said all of these things, what the Spirit guided him into, He's written it down so that when we read, we can understand. This is how we renew our minds. Romans 12, verses 1 and verse 2. It is the work of the Spirit, no doubt, by means of the living and powerful Word that He revealed. And when that seed, that living seed, is planted in our hearts, it renews them. It makes them whole again. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The Spirit's guiding us in this renewal. He's guiding us through the Word that He's revealed. And by means of that Word, our minds, our hearts are filtered. They're refreshed. They're renewed. In Galatians chapter 5, he speaks of it this way. Galatians 5 and verse 19, he says, "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Look at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." How is that the fruit of the Spirit? Because the seed of the Word revealed, given by the Holy Spirit, when that seed is planted in our hearts, it grows and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's the author of that fruit. That's where it comes from. And it results then in a new man. We saw in Ephesians 4 where he talks about putting on that new man. We talked this morning earlier in Colossians 3 where he says in verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man." My point is this, that a prayer for renewal is going to have to begin with the desire to have our spirit and our conscience and our heart right with God. However He would have it, holy and acceptable before God. And we're going to enact that. That's going to take place as we bathe our minds and our hearts in His Word. And our minds, the inward man is changed. There is a new man created by this power. And that tells us that what we need to see a change in is our affections, what we love, what we care about, our values, our treasures, being eternal things in heaven and not temporal things here on this earth. To you, there's a lot of people that if they've not woken up today with this feeling, they will tomorrow. They're going to wish that they could hit reset and not have spent as much money as they just spent over this last month. And there's going to be a lot of different efforts to try to find some renewal, some restoration. But for many of those people, they're not willing, they don't want the cure. And the cure is to rid ourselves of materialism. The cure is to be content with such things as we have. That is a renewal. That would be a renewal for many people. But do we want to be made well? Yes, it results in a new man. We're going to see this in who we are. And the process that brings about this new man, it begins with obeying the gospel. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There's that new man. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17, he simply says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that new man once again? But let me say this. While that can be brought about by obedience to the gospel, as Christians, we have to understand that this putting off of the old man, it has to be a daily basis. We, every day, have to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, to put that old man to death, keep on crucifying the flesh, and adding to our faith. As was read this morning, Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We need to give ourselves to these things, and that's how we're going to have a renewal. Friends, I don't care whether it is a problem marriage, a problem family life, problem financially, or simply an addiction, a sin problem of some kind. If we are willing to make the changes that are necessary in our life to come back to God, to get our spirit right with Him, we can have that renewal. We can have that peace. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Are you suffering like the Jews of their own doing? You know, Jeremiah said, sometimes it's good that we bear that burden. Sometimes we need our mouth in the dust. Because sometimes that's what it takes to finally bring us to the point to where we appreciate the blessings that God has rained down upon us. And to treasure and to value that relationship with Him enough that we protect it. So if you're going through that, don't get discouraged in your soul. You might have to go through it for a while. Know this. God is good. He wants us to be restored to Him. He is willing. Do you want to be made well? Pursue God. Make the changes that you need to make. In Isaiah 41 and in verse 1, keep silence before me, O coastlands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. God wants you to come near to Him. And you can do that this morning. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, that's where it needs to begin. To come to Jesus as the Son of God. To believe in Him as your Savior, as the Son of God. To confess your faith in Him. To repent of your sins. To be baptized in water for the remission of sins before it's too late. All that can be accomplished. We can assist you in that if you're willing. And if as a child of God you have left the Lord, left that pattern,